train with the process that I've already described at length. And I believe it will blossom out so that there will be 4,000 or 5,000 new inventions a year. I think 1,000 of them will be moved forward. I think it could mean £1 billion into the economy. I believe it could employ 3,000 to 5,000 people in real technology, real step function change businesses. And that's what excites me. And I hope not just me.
Okay, it excites me too. No, I think it's terrific.
Back to the Drawing Board was presented by Matthew Harvey and produced by Fergus Colville. We're off to Ambridge in a moment, but first we'll hear from a man I guess won't be on your Christmas card list.
Hello. Have you got a moment? You know, I've heard some very unsettling stories recently. Stories about lost souls who stalk the objects of their desire with quite remarkable tenacity.
Let's find your parents.
I told you, they've gone. It's just me and him now.
Stories about the transformative powers of love charms and an enthusiastic employee who was asked to give of his all, quite literally.
What's going on?
What's going on?
You've locked me in.
I really think you should hear them too.
The new series of The Man in Black, starring Mark Gatiss, continues this Sunday in the seventh dimension at 6 p.m. and midnight.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Time to catch up now on what's been happening in Borsetshire this week. And Amy and Usha are discussing Christmas presents in Ambridge Extra.
Oh, he's always so difficult to buy for.
Has he mentioned anything to you?
You know what he's like, Amy. If you ask him, he just says there's nothing he really needs.
Well, I was wondering about a bottle of something, but that's a bit unimaginative, isn't it?
There is one thing.
Oh, yeah, what?
He hasn't said this, but you know that blue shirt he wears a lot?
Yeah.
It's getting quite frayed around the collar.
Oh, right, OK, so you think a replacement would...
If you could find one like it.
Yeah, all right then, Usha. Yeah, I'll have a look around tomorrow after my shift.
Good. Well, not so good.
Why?
I'll have to think of something else now.
Oh, you're still here, love. Oh, you're off to night shift.
Dad?
It's a double, isn't it?
Were you listening?
What?
Eavesdroppers never hear good about themselves, you know.
Is that one of your grand's sayings?
No, it's one of mine. You should know better. Earwigging private conversations in the run-up to Christmas.
I can assure you I was not earwigging.
Oh.
No, I've just come straight in from seeing Peggy Woolley.
How is she?
Her ankle's quite painful, but it's not broken.
She's a tough one.
Certainly is.
Anyway, you're right. I had better be going.
OK.
Oh, by the way... Is this house going to have a Christmas tree anytime soon?
Yeah, I know. I've been a bit lax. Eddie Grundy's delivering one tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? Who drove the lorry?
Sorry?
That it fell off the back of.
He assures me it's totally legitimate.
Well, I don't care, as long as we have something to decorate.
We will.
Great. Well, we can do it when I get back from... never you mind, OK? See you later.
Bye.
Bye, love. Well, she's happy. Anyway, he always loves Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been, love? I'm sorry I've been out half the evening.
Oh, that's all right. We've left some food for you.
Oh, good. I'm starving. Yeah. Maybe while I eat, you could tell me how you got on with the children's home people.
Well, actually, that won't take long.
Oh?
As we suspected... There's an awful lot of red tape. No progress to report.
Not surprising, I suppose. I wonder.
What?
Is this God's way of telling me I should leave it?
Oh, yes, very nice.
I'm not sure about, you know, this bit.
The lapels.
Are they a bit old-fashioned?
Well, that's one of the nice things about a dinner suit. It does hark back to the past.
Yeah, but I don't want to look like I borrowed yours. No offence.
No, fair enough. No one wants to be seen in their dad's clothes. What, do you want to try the other one again? With the notches in the lapels?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, give me that one.
Thanks.
Should have seen my first DJ. Braid on the lapels, velvet bow tie, frilly shirt. I looked like a dodgy Spanish gigolo. But that was the fashion then.
To look like dodgy gigolos.
Well, everyone did. What were we thinking?
What do you reckon?
You look very smart in both of them.
Smart? Not cool.
Cool as well. Your mother's going to be very proud.
What was she doing with Auntie Elizabeth on Monday?
Looking at a pony for Freddie. At Emily Williams' place.
Any luck?
Well, they think so. Elizabeth's going to take Freddie along soon.
Are we going to deck the hall this year?
Yeah, probably. I was surprised you hadn't asked to work there again.
I thought about it, but I've got so much schoolwork.
Well, it's probably very sensible. So, come on, what do you think?
This one's a bit more expensive.
That's all right.
I am still going to get a Christmas present,
yes,
aren't
don't
I?
Don't worry about that. This is a rite of passage thing.
Awesome.
Wow, you look smart, Dan.
Oh, don't say that. Oh? He'd prefer to look cool.
Ah, well, you do.
You're not just saying that?
No, smart and cool. Hello, by the way.
Afternoon.
Hi, Amy.
Christmas shopping?
No.
No, just getting Daniel equipped for the festive season.
It's for the New Year's Eve ball.
And the Civic Hall? That's swanky. Well, I'm thinking of going myself.
And for future events.
You wow the girls with that, Dan.
Thanks.
There's one girl in particular.
Dad.
Oh, lovely.
You are Christmas shopping, I take it?
I am.
Thought so. That shirt looks way too big for you.
Oh, it's for Dad.
Oh, great.
Hope he likes it. Anyway, I'll see you.
Yeah,
bye.
And don't break too many hearts, Dan.
So, you come to a decision?
Yeah, this one.
Great, good choice. Right, now for the accessories. And then how about tea and a bun in the cafe?
Have you got time? Aren't you taking Erin to Clinical Club tonight?
Oh, there's heaps of time. We're just meeting there, and I won't be having supper at home, so I can drop you off and get straight out.
Okay, then. That'll be great.
Daniel, on the subject of Erin...
Yeah?
She's a very attractive girl.
Yes, I noticed.
And you're obviously getting on well.
We are.
Well, I know you're a sensible lad, but... Well, sometimes it can be easy to get carried away.
Carried away?
In the heat of the moment.
You mean like when you're watching sport?
I was thinking more of when you're together, the two of you.
Ah, you mean me going on about the environment. But I think she quite likes that, actually.
No, you're not... Perhaps I'm not making myself clear.
It's all right, Dad. I know what you're getting at.
You wind up, merchant.
And I'll be careful.
Yeah, I knew you would. I just had to...
I know.
Right, well, thank God that's over.
Absolutely.
Let's find you a shirt and tie.
Oh, I'm sorry to say it, but it looks like I've come to a dead end.
Just here in the corner. Oh.
It's a monster.
I'm sure it's bigger than I ordered. When Eddie delivered it, I thought I might have to chop the top off.
Looks good, though.
Yeah, it does. Sorry, love, what you were saying?
Yeah. To be honest, I think there's very little chance of accessing Catherine's records.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, Alan.
No, I know you've done your best.
I can't see how we can get any information that would explain what she...
Wow. Oh, wow. Now that is what I call a tree.
That is impressive, isn't it?
Usha, do you want to hang the first one?
Oh, thank you, Amy.
Should be out the front, really. Then we could take part in the light switch on tomorrow. Dad?
Oh, that's just round the green, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't come down this far.
It's the first time for everything. Oh, look. Star that Mum made. Can I put that on?
Yeah, of course. Be careful with it, though. See better days.
I will. We always used to put this in the tree together, do you remember?
Yeah.
I'll just get the other box with the lights.
Okay, love.
You used to lift me up. Mum would hold one point and I'd hold the other. And we'd make a Christmas wish as we put it on.
Catherine's like a saint to Amy.
She used to make Christmas so special. Not that you don't, Dad.
No, it's fine. She did.
How can I shatter her memory? It's all she's got.
You found it, then?
Oh, yes, they were really good directions.
You're looking forward to it?
Actually, I'm a bit nervous, Alistair. Is that mad?
Well, there's no need to be. No one's expecting anything of you.
I know.
You're here to learn, and they're all nice people.
Most of them, anyway.
Now, let's get you a drink, then I'll introduce you to some of them.
Okay.
No, you'll be fine, Erin.
So how does the evening work?
Well, we go up to the meeting room and there's a supper laid on, very informal. And after that, some of the vets will present their cases.
And are you going to talk about the caesarean?
I am.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, I don't know why, you saw it all in the flesh.
I want to hear how you describe it.
Well, it's the fact that it's sextuplets that makes it interesting. Right, what would you like to drink?
Dry white wine, please.
One dry white wine. And I'll try to hook you up with a couple of the small animal guys.
That'd be great.
I wonder what the barmaid thinks. Buying drinks for a pretty young woman. And a pint of memory lane. Oh, get real. Probably thinks she's your daughter.
Oh, I think I need to go to bed.
I'm not surprised. You must be exhausted.
Night, Dad.
Night, love.
Night, Usha.
Sleep well, Amy.
Oh, doesn't the room look lovely?
Very special.
Bye.
Hi.
I hope you didn't mind earlier.
What, then?
When Amy was reminiscing about Catherine.
No, it's fine. I found it a bit difficult myself. But it did help me make a decision.
Really?
I can't give up. I've got to try to understand.
But if we can't access the records...
Now, the only other route's Mabel. It was quite difficult between us last week. I think I ought to ring her, see how she is. Now she's had a chance to reflect, well, who knows?
Well, do you want to ring now?
Yeah, why not?
I'll leave you to it.
You don't have to.
No, I think it's better if you're private. There you are.
Oh, thanks, love.
Best of luck.
I won't need it.
Hello?
Mabel, it's Alan.
Oh, good evening, Alan.
I hope it's not too late to call.
No. I was just making myself some cocoa.
Good. I wanted to ring because I've been a little worried about how we left things.
Yes.
I mean, it must have been very upsetting for you to have this unearthed after so many years.
Yes, it was. And I was a bit angry with you.
Understandably.
But it wasn't your fault once you'd found those letters.
Yeah, and although I've considered trying to put it behind me like you and Catherine did, I'm afraid I really can't.
Alan, it was so long ago.
Yes, I know, but Catherine lives with me every day. And I have to understand what made her behave in such an alien way. Mabel, please, will you help me?
I don't know what help I can be.
Well, I imagine you must have thought about that time a lot since last week.
It's been on my mind constantly.
Well, are you sure Catherine didn't say anything that could shed light on what she did?
Not to me. And if she spoke to Annie, well...
Yeah, well, it's too late now.
God rest her soul. There was...
Yes?
A woman at the home.
One of the staff?
Well, Catherine seemed to trust her.
I don't suppose you can remember her name.
A Mrs. Peplow. That's what she was called.
Well, what was her Christian name?
I've no idea.
Right. I don't imagine there's much chance of finding her with just a surname.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. I don't think I ever knew her Christian name.
Unless, hang on, in the letters, Catherine mentions a Janice several times. I wonder if it could be her.
Janice Peplow?
Yeah. Well, she certainly seemed to give Catherine a lot of help.
It might be, I suppose.
Well, I know it's a long shot, but thank you, Mabel. I mean, thank you very much.
That was brilliant.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Who'd have thought that a cow could have a facelift?
Well, tumours are quite common in Herefords if the skin round the eyes unpigmented.
And cat TB.
Mycobacterial infection does seem to be on the rise, although it's still very rare.
And it was so great to meet all those other vets.
Oh, they certainly took a shine to you, Erin.
Well, maybe not the women so much.
It's made me more determined than ever.
Well, that's great. I'm pleased.
Good to help someone on their way in life.
I really can't thank you enough, Alistair. You've been so helpful.
It's my pleasure.
All that time you've spent with me, letting me help in the surgery, you've been wonderful. You are wonderful.
Lovely.
No.
Alistair.
No, this is wrong.
No, it isn't.
No, Erin, we mustn't. Mrs. Peplow.
Yes?
I'm Alan Franks. We spoke yesterday.
Oh, yes. Come in.
Thank you. And thank you for seeing me like this.
You're welcome. Go on through.
Yeah, I know this this must have come out of the blue.
I was surprised you were able to track me down.
Fortunately, you being on the Residents Association Committee.
Oh, yes. The online newsletter. Can I get you some tea, Mr. Franks?
No, thanks. Please, do call me Alan.
Coffee?
No, nothing, thanks. Occupational habit.
Sorry?
I'm a vicar.
Oh, I see. You must float on the stuff.
A little. So, do you still work with young people?
Not anymore. I retired 5 years ago. But yes, I spent most of my life working with youngsters. Falconwood Secure Home was my first job.
And you said you remember Catherine?
Yes, but I know I agreed to see you, but I don't really know if it's appropriate for me to talk about her in detail.
I understand you might be reticent, but you really are my only hope.
You said she didn't talk about it when you were married. Shouldn't you respect that?
Yeah, I take the point, yes, but if it had never come to light at all, maybe that's how she would have wanted it. But at the moment, all I know are the very bare bones, and I'm having enormous difficulty reconciling that with the woman I loved.
It is always difficult for the family. Goes with the territory, I'm afraid.
Now, I wonder, can I show you the things we found?
Well, I suppose so.
I mean, if you could see how agonisingly slim it all is. Look, this is a letter from the home.
Oh, yes. Oliver Stanshaw.
He would have been your boss, presumably.
Bit of a martinet. I can't say I agreed with a lot of his policies.
And these are the letters that Catherine wrote to her aunt.
Oh, that's...
Yes, Catherine would have been about 13 when this was taken. Not too long before it happened. I thought it might be useful to remind you.
There's no need. I remember her very well.
And this is... this one's how I remember her.
Who's this little girl?
It's our daughter, Amy.
Oh. Catherine grew up to be a lovely-looking woman, didn't she?
Yes, lovely in so many ways. Somewhere between that photo and this one, something hellish happened to her. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
I just have to understand.
Would you mind? Could I have a look at those letters?
Are you still up to your eyes in TB tests?
No, all done. And all clear, I'm pleased to say.
Oh, I'm pleased.
Not as pleased as Arnold was.
I bet.
Anyway, what can I do for you?
We've run out of cheese.
Oh, you want me to pick some up on the way home?
If you could. Just some cheddar or anything.
Fine.
I'm kicking myself because I was at Mum's earlier.
It's not a problem, Sheila.
I'd realised I could easily have got some from the shop.
No, don't worry about it.
Is that?
I was talking to her about Christmas.
It is. It's Erin's car.
You know, we've been worried about David and Elizabeth.
Sorry, Shula, I've got to go.
Oh, right.
Arnold wants a word. Sorry.
OK, I'll see you.
Hello, Alistair.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see you.
How did you know where to find me?
I rang the surgery. Denise said I could probably catch you here. I thought we could go for a drink or something.
No, we can't. I'm working.
I don't think so. Denise said this was your last call for the day.
You said she mentioned me. I didn't realise it was so warmly.
You obviously made a big difference to her. That's why I thought you'd be the one who could help me.
Well, Oh, I don't suppose there can be any harm now.
So you...
What would you like to know?
Oh, thank you so much, Mrs. Peplow.
Janice, please.
Well, Janice, what was Catherine like back then?
Very withdrawn for most of the time. Looking back, we call it post-traumatic stress. She built a sort of shell around her.
Self-protection?
Something like that. But she opened up to me bit by bit. Did take a long time, though.
Did you ever glean any indication of where this violence came from?
Well, given what she'd been through, any one of us might...
Sorry, what she'd been through?
Well, yes, Do you mean you don't know?
We could have such a good time together.
No.
You're so fit and really clever.
Erin, get off.
And the way you say things, you're so funny.
Someone will see.
Every time I'm due to see you, I just can't wait. I get so excited.
For God's sake, come here. Out of sight.
I just want you all the time.
Well, this girl she'd attacked, she'd made Catherine's life a misery for years.
Oh, bullying?
More like racist abuse.
Oh, I see.
Not just aimed at Catherine, but at her mother too.
I don't think Mabel knew anything about this.
It wasn't directly at her. It was all via Catherine. Name-calling, scribbling on her desk, monkey noises.
Oh, Lord.
By the time she got to, what would it have been, the third year at secondary, it started to get worse, more physical, more threatening. This girl was talking about bleaching Catherine and her mum.
Bleaching?
Literally throwing bleach over her.
Well, that's appalling.
I've seen a few black kids try to do it to themselves.
Go on.
The day it came to a head, they were in the domestic science kitchen. And the girl came at Catherine with a bottle of bleach.
Well, she was actually going to do it.
Oh, who knows? It could just have been a threat. But Catherine didn't know that. She flipped, grabbed the first thing that was to hand.
A knife.
A kitchen knife, yes.
Yeah. Mabel said the injuries were severe.
She was tried for grievous bodily harm, so I'm afraid they must have been. It's a cliché, but I don't think Catherine knew what she was doing until it was over.
Why didn't any of this come out at the trial?
I think it was just too early. It took over a year for her to tell me. Once I knew what had happened, I tried to persuade her to speak to the police.
But she wouldn't.
That's how she was dealing with it.
Oh. This is what Mabel says. She just locked it away.
The last thing she wanted was to go over and over it again. Maybe the other girl would deny it. It was her word against Catherine's. Why open up all that pain?
Look, she was defending herself.
And her mother.
I know you like me too.
I do. You're a very nice person, but I've only ever seen you as Daniel's girlfriend or as someone who's interested in becoming a vet.
Don't give me that. I've seen the signs.
There weren't any signs. I've never shown any indication that I think of you that way.
Oh, no? I've seen the way you look at me.
I may have... Look, you're a very pretty girl. Any man would have...
Oh, come on. You know you want to.
Erin... In some ways, it's very flattering, and if you've got the wrong impression, I'm very sorry, but I absolutely don't feel that way about you.
It didn't seem like that when you were kissing me on Wednesday.
You kissed me.
You kissed me back.
For a moment, but you caught me by surprise.
Well, don't tell me you didn't like it.
That's not the point. I thought I made it clear then, this can't happen.
It was just because it was public. Your vet friends might have seen. But we can go somewhere now. Anywhere you like.
I'm a married man.
That doesn't matter.
Believe me, it does. You're young enough to be my...
Don't say that. Age doesn't matter if we fancy each other.
It would matter, even if we did. But what you're feeling, it's not real.
You don't know how I feel.
People your age, they sometimes get a crush.
It's not a crush.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it has to stay a fantasy thing.
It's not a fantasy. I could make you so happy.
No, please. You have to leave me alone and put this out of your mind. I've got to go.
No.
I'm sorry, Erin. You've got it all wrong.
Well, now I know what she'd been through. I feel humbled by the strength she showed.
Strength?
To move on and make a normal life for herself. Must have cost her a lot.
Yes.
But poor Mabel. Oh. If only Catherine had explained, Mabel could have been saved the guilt she'd carried all these years.
I feel so bad. If I'd known, Catherine wouldn't even tell her mother.
Oh, no, you mustn't feel guilty, Janice. As I can see, you did Catherine a world of good.
Her attitude certainly improved after that. That's how the system saw it, anyway.
She might have spent even longer there if it hadn't been for you.
Will you tell Mabel I'm sorry?
I will. I know I've caused her a lot of grief, excavating all these memories. I hope she'll find some relief when she discovers what actually motivated Catherine's actions.
I'm sure she will.
I do have a dilemma, though.
Yes?
Amy. She doesn't know anything about this yet.
Are you thinking of telling her?
Well, doesn't she have a right to know about her mother? Well, at least now we can understand why Catherine did it.
Alan, you know Amy. I can't interfere. But you should think very carefully about opening all this up for her.
How on earth could she have thought... I didn't encourage her, did I? I'll admit it, you did like having her around. But that's different from... I mean, it's a million miles away. You haven't done anything wrong. Just hope she's got the message now. Oh, Daniel. I can't see them staying together. And the ball. Oh, what's going to happen?
Aha! The weekend started early.
Sorry?
The wine? Tough day, was it?
Yeah, it was a bit.
You can pour me one if you like.
Okay. So you had a tough day too?
Not especially. Well, unless you count a difficult conversation with Geraldine Ellis about fees.
Uh-huh.
Everyone seems to think any figure you mention nowadays is just a starting point for negotiation. Never used to be like that.
Mm.
Should I tell her?
I missed lunch today. I had to pick up one of Joanne's lessons. Think I'll have a bit of bread and... Oh, haven't you put it in yet?
What?
Cheese.
Oh, sorry, Sheila, something... It's just, sorry, slipped my mind.
Alistair.
Oh, I'm really sorry.
You could just tell her why you forgot.
There's some of the pâté left. I'll have that.
I could pop to the shop now.
Oh, no, don't bother. I just thought while you were passing.
Yeah.
I was thinking of popping over to Auntie Peggy, see how her ankle is. If the shop's still open, I'll get some then.
Well, if not, I'll go tomorrow.
Mm. Thanks.
Could just get it all into the open.
Oh, I wonder what Jennifer's drinking now. Some exotic cocktail, I expect. Not bargain bin Cabernet.
Yeah.
Would it cause more trouble than it's worth, though?
I wouldn't mind swapping Ambridge for the Maldives, especially at this time of year.
Mmm, but it's lovely.
It's only a crush after all. We've all had them.
Do you want any?
Sorry?
Bread and pâté.
Oh, no thanks.
Are you all right?
Me? Yeah, I'm fine. Just a bit of a long week, you know.
No. Lise said soonest mended.
Well, keeping quiet is one heck of a gamble, but then he does like that sort of thing, doesn't he? Ambridge Extra was written by Kerry Davis. It was directed in our Birmingham studios by Sarah Conkey. The editor is Vanessa Whitburn. And Ambridge Extra continues on Tuesday and Thursday afternoon.
I am the doctor.
I see.
He's back.
You look just like you did after I left unit.
Tom Baker is the doctor.
Everybody hold on to the zebra's head and on to each other.
It was at that point in the proceedings that a weasel leapt for the doctor's throat.
A hoof print belonging to an alpine ibex, Mike.
Not a goat one normally associates with Sussex. We had to clamber our way down to the ear, tethered together by the doctor's scarf.
2 weeks of wintry chillers on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hey, I'd completely forgotten. It's Christmas Eve.
The radio premiere of Doctor Who, The Hornet's Nest.
You'll need your wellies, Mrs. Whibsy. It's snowing.
Starts on Monday night in the seventh dimension at 6 and again at midnight.
There's a new cop in town.
Listen up, we've just received a tip-off as to where this perp might be living.
Detective Sergeant Nick Mohammed.
Now, first of all, do we all know what perp means? Yeah? So it means murderer in this context, right?
In a brand new comedy show for BBC Radio 4.
Tina, a few people have said that you're still adding an upward inflection when you state the nature of the crime. I'm arresting you for a murder? Doesn't really work, I'm afraid, OK? Because it ends up making it sound like a question rather than a statement. It makes you sound unsure.
Detective Sergeant Nick Mohammed starts this Wednesday night at 11 o'clock over on BBC Radio 4.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
During the Second World War, J.B. Priestley became the presenter of Postscripts, a radio programme that followed the 9 o'clock news on Sunday evenings. And he built up such a following that after a few months, it was estimated around 40% of the adult population in Britain was listening. Well, today, he reflects on bomb damage in Bradford and says his farewells.
It's a lovely day tomorrow.
Sunday, 29th of September, 1940. Perhaps the only solidly real place we ever know is the place in which we spent our youth. It's there are genuinely real streets, shops and houses, and their only fault is that they have a trick of appearing diminished every time we go back to have another look at them. I was thinking this when I returned the other afternoon to my native city of Bradford, where I went to see what damage had resulted from a recent air raid. And, as I anticipated, it was far more of a shock to see a few burnt-out buildings in this town than it had been to see all the damage in London. It was astonishing to discover that the familiar large drapery store and the old chapel were no longer there, and that in their places were some blackened ruins with odd pillars and bits of walls still standing. But I think the sight made a far deeper impression upon me than all the bombing I'd seen for weeks in London, because it somehow brought together two entirely different worlds, the safe and shining world of my childhood and the insecure and lunatic world of today. I was appalled by the sheer stupidity of it. These Nazi airmen had flown hundreds of miles in order to destroy a draper's shop, part of a market, an old chapel, and so on. Nothing that made the least difference to our war effort. Nothing that couldn't be soon replaced, except the walls of the old chapel. Moreover, and now we come to the point, the pie shop and the pie were still there. Ever since I could remember, there'd been, just at the back of this draper's, a small eating house that specialised in meat and potato pie. I remembered it well because there'd always been on view in the window a giant, almost superhuman, meat and potato pie with a magnificently brown, artfully wrinkled, succulent-looking crust. And not only that, out of that pie there came at every hour when the shop was doing business a fine, rich, appetizing steam to make the mouth water, even as the very window itself was watering. There it was, a perpetual volcano of a meat and potato pie. And that steaming giant pie was, to my boyish mind, as much an essential part of my native city as the town hall and its chimes. Now, I'd heard that this shop and its famous steaming pie had been destroyed in the raid, and so I'd made up my mind that I would stand in the ruins of that shop, catching perhaps a last lingering whiff of that steam, and would compose some kind of lament or elegy. But I found that the shop hadn't finished, but was there, wide open and doing business. True, it was showing a few scars, and instead of the window it had been neatly boarded up, but there was a square opening in the middle of the boarding, and there, seen through the opening, as magnificent as ever, was the great pie, still steaming away like mad. Every puff and jet of that steam defied Hitler, Goering, and the whole gang of them. It was glorious. Now, the owner himself, an elderly man with one of those folded-in Yorkshire faces, was standing just inside the doorway, so I asked him what had happened. He replied shortly, and indeed rather grumpily, that the shop had had its front blown out but was now open, and that the famous pie hadn't been damaged at all, because it was his habit when closing the shop to remove this noble trademark to a place of safety. As he said this, I could feel his hand on my back and a distinct sensation of being gently but firmly pushed into the street, where, the hand hinted, I belonged. Rather grieved by this suspicious reception, I went further along to have a look at the neighbourhood ruins. I'd not been there more than a minute or two before I was clapped on the shoulder, and there was the pie man again, holding out a hand and beaming at me. It seems that his wife recognised my voice.